Good evening, everyone. It's nice to see all of the lovely top halves of your faces. But you've got beautiful eyes, all of you. So it's lovely to see you. Just quickly, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Leonard, and I lead the congregation here. We've been going for a few months now only. We started this Stellenbosch Evening Congregation in the beginning of this year. We had 6 weeks. Then we had lockdown, and now we're where we're at. But it's been an incredible journey. We've seen God doing incredible things out of it. Just a small testimony out of this time. And because we have these services and more capacity, we had to do obviously a lot of people going away. We were able to start another congregation booster, and that's been incredible. We were there this morning as well. Zenon was there. Yes, Zenon came to visit us. It was really. A little bit softer, maybe just a tiny bit. Feels like full of a dear color. Zenon came to visit us anyway. We had an incredible service in Worcester this morning. It's cool to see what God is doing here. So it's just nice to see that when I initially heard about COVID and everything that was going to happen, I was quite bummed. I was super sad about this not being able to go on like we were expecting it to go on. But it's cool to see how God brings good out of potentially bad situations. And we were able to plant in Worcester, and that's been incredible. The Bible says God works together all things for the good of those who love Him. And for me, that's just testimony of that. So anyway, if you are new here, then you would not know what I'm going to preach about now. But for the past 3 weeks, last week we took a bit of a break. We watched a sermon by Andrew C. who started Joshua a couple of years ago. But for the 2 weeks before that, we did started a small series that we're going to end with tonight called Gifts of Grace. And just as a little bit of a recap, the whole idea with the message was that yes, God wants to do something in us, but the beautiful thing is it doesn't stop there. God does a work in us, and then He moves to a place where He does a work through us. And that's something He wants to do with every single Christian. It doesn't matter how long you've been serving God. God wants you to not only receive from Him, but He wants you to give some of what you've received from Him. And the moment we start doing that, the moment we realize that it's not about being a perfect Christian, it's not about being a groot Christian, like Afrikaans people say, or being a very mature Christian, it's just about being a Christian willing to work for God and willing to be active for God, then you will see how your relationship with God even grows as you start stepping out for Him. So just as a little testimony before we get there, this whole gift of grace, it actually comes from Romans 12. We're teaching through 5 verses in Romans 12, verse 3 to 8. We'll get to that in a moment. But just a short testimony. A couple of years ago, we did a camp in Bloemfontein. I know there's a couple of Bloemfonteiners here.
Hallelujah.
Okay, yes. 3 of them, 4 of them. Huh? I'm surprised you reacted so quickly. Normally it takes a few years for stuff to get to Bloemfontein. they say if it's the apocalypse, if the end of the world comes, what do? You go to Bloemfontein because everything is 10 years behind there. You'll still be fine for a few years. But anyway, we did this camp in Bloemfontein. And for a couple of years we did this camp, and I don't know if you've ever seen this, but sometimes people have an encounter with God, and on this camp every year, people would have a real encounter with God. We would see God doing miraculous things, people getting saved, people getting baptized, people getting healed, people being filled with the Holy Spirit. It was incredible. But what many times happened, it was like this peak in people's Christianity. And then when we went away from Bloemfontein, it would go, something like that. And you wanted to go like this, not like that. So it was a bit of a concern. We felt like, God, what do you want to do? It's this incredible camp. A lot of young people in Bloemfontein. We want to trust you for just like your heart. What is it that we're missing? What is that thing that we're not seeing in Bloemfontein? And in 2015, when we went there, we were just praying for the camp before, and then we felt God saying to us that we shouldn't only focus on what God wants to do in the people on the camp, but also what He wants to do through the people of the camp. And we decided to make a shift so that the focus of the camp was, yes, we want to trust that God does a miracle in people's lives, that people have an experience with God, but we also want to trust that they take that further into their schools, into Bloemfontein, and see it actually making an impact on other people. And it was scary for some of them. So some of the things that we did, I don't know those of you who are on that camp, it was 450 people on this camp, so it's quite a sizable camp in Bloemfontein. One of the sessions, we broke the entire camp up into groups of 30 people about, And we had some of the young people, grade 9s, 10s, 11s, and we said to them, cool, you have until tomorrow, you have to prepare a sermon. And you can work your testimony into the sermon, and you are going to preach to 30 or 40 people. Welcome, this is your first sermon. Go for it. And they had some time to prepare, and we spent time with them, and we just gave them a bit of, like, a few tips, and we said, now go. God wants to use you. Your age isn't important. How long you've been serving God isn't important. What's important is, are you willing? Are you keen? Like, will you do it? And they started stepping out. And during the sessions, we would speak about something, but then we'd say, okay, now we're going to do it. We don't want to just want to be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word. We want to activate. We want to walk in these things. So easy to sit and listen to a sermon, and it's in the one ear, and you walk out, and it's out the other ear, without allowing it to touch your heart, and allowing it to transform the what you do, for it to actually lead to action. And I must say, that year, it's like a little revival in Bloemfontein. At least that's what it looked like from the outside. When I saw on Facebook and people sent me testimonies, it was incredible to see as people started stepping out. I today still meet people who got saved on that camp and are still passionate for God. Today still I meet people, yeah, do I? Did you get saved on that one?
Yeah.
Incredible. So here's fruit of that camp. But afterwards, people started sending me testimonies saying, like, you won't believe, at school we prayed, a couple of us came together that were on the camp, we prayed for someone, they got healed, and they weren't able to walk on their leg is perfectly healed, and then that was incredible. And then someone would send me a testimony, man, we were walking around in break time, sharing our testimony and preaching the gospel to people, and a couple of people got saved. Awesome. I'm like, that is incredible. They had a prayer meeting. I know that Jim Fashir, the one school there, they had a prayer meeting, and something like 120 people pitched up to the prayer meeting. I'm like, amazing. And you know what the difference is? The difference was, I'm not just going to receive, I'm going to learn how to give. And that's a shift that God wants to bring into every Christian's life. It's not just the super mature Christians, the person standing in front. Churches where every member is a minister, every member is active, every member not only receives, but also gives. Even if you've been walking with God for a week, you have something to give. Every Christian has something to give. And it's when you start walking out, you think it's going to take something from you, but it gives something to you. It actually gives you growth in your walk with God the moment you start reaching out to others. That's why Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I can tell you, the moment you're going to make that shift in your life, where Christianity is not only a receiving, where you don't only have a receiving mentality, but you have a receive to give mentality. That's a massive shift that needs to take place in all of our hearts. So, Romans 12 is an incredible chapter. And specifically verse 3 to 8 that we've been preaching through, the heading in many Bibles is the gifts of grace. It's an incredibly incredible little piece of scripture. Because what it does is, it's like an activation piece of scripture. It's not an exhaustive list of ways that God wants to use you, but it's just a few ways in which God can use us. And I believe that if we read through it and we're going to teach on it, actually tonight we're going to only focus on one little verse in that whole thing. But there's eight specific, seven gifts that get mentioned there. And as you go through those things, I'm trusting that God will stir your heart to say, man, that's a way that I think God wants to use me. And maybe it might only be a little seedling. It might be like a little thing, like, oh God, I maybe you want to use me in that thing. Then that's okay. Then I want you tonight to grab hold of it and to say, God, it might be small, but I'm trusting that you will start using me. It's not an exhaustive list, as I've said. There are many other ways in which God can use us, but it's a little bit of a kickstarter to say, at least start here. Start with Romans 12, verse 3 to 8, and trust God that he will start using you in these things. So, just do a quick recap before we get to the last verse, verse 8 that we're going to speak about tonight. I'm going to quickly go through it. We have been teaching on this, so it's going to be a quick jump for you. You can go listen to them, download them from the Joshua website if you want to go listen to it. But it says, Paul is speaking to these people, the people in Rome, and he says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Okay, I'm going to try again, just because it's nice when there's interaction. I can't see your faces, but I can hear your voices. Okay, let us
use them.
Okay, so I want to say Paul is going to give us a list of things, but it's important. He doesn't say, let us think about them. He doesn't say, let us reason about them. Let us pray about them. Let us journal about them. Let us discuss them. He doesn't say that. He says, let us use them. And we preached about it 2 weeks ago. And my challenge for you is, if you've been listening to what we've said, the question is, are you using them? Are you starting to use the gifts that God is calling you for? It's not enough to think about it and to pray about it. God wants us to apply the things that He speaks to us. That's a difficult thing when you stand in front of people and you preach. It's one thing giving people information. That's easy enough, right? But it's getting people to grab all of the information and say, I'm going to apply it to my life. And I want to ask you, before we go into the rest, are you applying these things into your life? If 2 weeks ago someone prayed for you because you feel like God might be calling you to walk in one of these gifts, what did you do about it? Did you go for that coffee with the person that you wanted to show someone something in the Bible? Did you start serving? Like, did you say, hey, I'm willing to serve, where can I get involved? Did you do it? Because if you didn't do it, then we are only hearers of the word, but we are not doers of the word. Bible says, take it, mix it with faith, and do something about it. And we need to be people who act on what the Bible teaches us. Let us use it. No, wait, where's verse 3? Sorry, we only supposed to get there. Okay, so this is verse 3. For by the power, it's like, what? Interesting. Okay. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. So Paul, this where he starts is, says, I'm going to mention all of these gifts, but I want you firstly to be humble. Okay, that's another one that I've said last time. Paul is saying, I don't want you to say, yes, I am called to leadership, so why aren't you letting me lead? He's saying, no, none of that. Be humble, start small, be faithful in the little. Think of yourself with sober judgment. Don't think of yourself too highly. Start by just serving and being willing to be used. Each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So it's saying, yes, there are a couple of gifts, but some people might be more gifted in some areas than others. And that's okay. Right? It's okay. God doesn't have to gift us the same for every person. God is not like me. I'm an only child. When I pour cold drink into a glass, they need to be perfectly level. My wife's always like, Lennon, just pour the cold drink. It doesn't really matter. I'm like, no, I don't want you to get more than I am. It needs to be perfect. God is not like that. God's not like it needs to be equal. God gives as He wants, but He gives to all of us. That's the point. No one here, and you need to hear this, there's no one sitting here to whom God has given nothing. No one. God has given to each person sitting here, He's given some portion, some gift, a gift of grace that He wants you to start walking in. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, not the same. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. That is really a beautiful thing. That's saying we don't have the same gift, but when each of us bring and contribute our gift, then we show different parts of Jesus when we come together. And that's why church for me is such a beautiful thing. Because when I'm alone, I only see the portion of Jesus maybe that is revealed to me, and the gift of Jesus that I may be walking in. But when we come together, I see, as other people contribute, I see more of Jesus. Tonight, where you are now, you can see more of Jesus than when you're alone. Because the body of Christ is together now. And as each person gives the part that God has given to them and they walk in it, we see more of God. It's a beautiful thing about church when we start walking in it. We are members of each other. We form part of a body. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. That's what I was speaking about. And then he goes into 7, and we talked about 3 2 weeks ago. We're going to touch on the last 4 tonight, and we're going to pray for people who feel like these might be areas that God is calling them for. So we spoke about prophecy. Paul says, if your gift is prophecy, then prophesy in proportion to your faith. So firstly, we spoke about that 2 weeks ago, saying that prophecy is something where Paul said he desires all people to speak in tongues, but even more, to prophesy. So I believe prophecy is something that every believer in Christ can trust God for. And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to call out what that person had for breakfast a week ago. It's not that. It's supposed to be encouragement. So even you, trusting God, saying, God, lay something in my heart for Christy Lee. And God reminds you of the love that He has for Christy Lee, and you share that with her. That's the prophecy right there. Christy Lee, I just felt God reminding me to tell you that He loves you. It's encouraging, it's a prophecy.
And I don't have to be a prophet to be able to say that. I'm just trusting God to lay something in my heart. So if 2 weeks ago prophecy was mentioned, my question to you is, did you prophesy? Have you? Because we need you. And if you didn't, then do it. Just do it. Start walking in it. Say, God, I'm trusting you for a prophecy for someone this morning and as I'm spending time with you. Lay someone on my heart this morning. Give me a scripture. Give me a word for them this morning that I can say to them this morning. Tomorrow morning when you spend time with God, let's do these things. Let's walk in them. Next one. In service, in our serving. So it's saying when you serve, you are like Jesus. Jesus always goes lower. Jesus came as a servant. So as Christians, we should say, I want to serve, I want to give. We make practical things spiritual. Because if you do practical things for the kingdom of God, then it advances the kingdom of God. And so even doing a very practical thing, even what Yandere is doing there, it's, there we go, Yandere, you will receive a reward one day for doing the AV. But what he's doing there is actually a spiritual work because it enables us, it makes it easier for us to worship God. But what is he doing? He's clicking a few buttons. More than that, probably. There we go, next button, okay. But anyway, service. Then start serving. To the one who teaches, in his teaching, we spoke about that as well, where teaching is something that we should be careful to want to be teachers. But I believe that if you're a teacher, if God is calling you to, my question is, did you go have coffee with someone this week? Did you take your Bible with? Did you show them something in the scripture? Did you teach? So we need to start being active in these things. So, then we're going to go to the last four gifts, and I'm going to go through them one by one, just teach a little bit on them so that we can understand them better, and then we're going to pray for each group, and we are going to pray for the people who don't fall into any group. We love you too, okay? So if you feel like, I don't know where God is calling me, I don't know if any of these things stand out for me, we want to pray for you and trust that God would allow something to stand out for you so that you can start being active for him. So the first one, verse 8. Romans 12, verse 8. To the one who exhorts, now some translations call that encouragement. To the one who encourages, it is encouragement. Or to the one who exhorts, it is exhortation. Now, encouragement for me is when I look at someone and I see what Jesus sees. I'm able to see what that person doesn't see because I look with the eyes of God. I look at the potential that God sees when God sees that person. It's an incredible gift, actually. A big part of the testimony of me standing here has to do with someone that had a gift of encouragement. And I want to be as bold as to say, because I really believe this, that I would not have been standing here in front of you today if it wasn't for someone that had a gift of encouragement. See, when I was a first-year student, I thought of actually putting up a photo, but I thought I won't shame myself like that. The Boksburg was still very deep in me. I came from Boksburg. I was out of Boksburg, but the Boksburg wasn't out of me, unfortunately. They say it's so difficult, right? It's like Bloemfontein. You can get out of Bloemfontein, but Bloemfontein doesn't get out of you. You see it. You see it. Anyway, it wasn't out of me, but in my first year, specifically, I didn't want to be a pastor, elder, duomini, whatever you call it, a leader, an elder, like I do today. I didn't have a desire to preach. In fact, all I wanted to do, actually, is I wanted to be like the Jack Johnson of Christianity. I wanted to be like the cool dude that everyone likes, and like I don't get in trouble with anyone, I don't push any buttons, I'm not offensive, I don't step on anyone's toes. I just wanted to be like, yeah, I love all of you, man. And that was sort of my picture of Jesus. I was like, Jesus just gives hugs, and, you know? That's how I thought. And part of this thing is I just wanted to make music. I wanted to be in the band. I wanted to play all the instruments. I wanted to be as cool as Stefan and as Godfrey. I wanted to be like these people, you know? And I wore my skinny jeans. They were very skinny. Maybe that's why I couldn't sing. It was too high in my voice. Just couldn't. Anyway, that was a struggle. But I was just this long-haired skinny jeans. That's who I was. Anyway, then there was a guy called JP. Now, I really look up to this guy. He was the leader at the Bible school that I was at. And there's just something in JP where he saw something in me that I did not see in myself. And he called it out of me. He saw the gold in me when I didn't see the gold in myself. And he would say to me, Leonard, you've got such potential to be a leader. And I would think, no, man, I don't want to be a leader. Leaders like have to offend people and stuff. It's, I'm like peace, not like, you know. But Jacob saw it in me. He said, then I really feel like you can be a leader. God is calling you to be a leader. And one day we went on an outreach and we went to a church and there was a guy, he led a big church in Pretoria. And he introduced me to this guy and he said to me, hey Yuri, I just want you to meet Leonard. He's the person that's going to do my job in a few years. And I was like, what? And because of the encouragement of that guy, because of what he saw, because of what he called out in me, something in me got awakened. And I realized, wait, I actually think that is really what God is calling me for. And it was because someone stepped out and he had the gift of encouragement. And you know what? Sometimes we make small gifts that are actually very big. You think, the Bible says, that the insignificant parts will actually have the most significance. Go read through Romans 12 slowly. It really is an incredible chapter. We think, like, how important is it really that I can be an encouragement to people, that I can encourage people, like, come on, you can do it. You're such a great guy. We think that's not important, but you know what? I'm a living testimony of the fact that it's really important. And if you are able to see with the eyes of Jesus, when you look at someone, and you know that when Jesus looks at that person through his blood that was shed for that person, he doesn't look at their flesh, he doesn't look at their sin. He looks past it, and he sees potential. And if we can be those people that really see the potential in people and call it out, you know what? You don't know what difference you can make in that person's life, and the ripple effect of that you will not be able to know. Jesus was an incredible person, and he's an incredible God, still alive today. But when he walked on earth, he did something incredible. Jesus met a guy, one of my heroes of the Bible. His name was Simon. And Jesus went to Simon, and he looked at Simon, and the name Simon means reed, so it's like wobbly, right? And if you look at this guy's personality, he was very wobbly. He was like, yeah, I can do it, and then he doesn't do it. And he was a very loudmouthed guy, but made so many mistakes, this guy called Simon. And Jesus walked up to Simon, and he said, your name is Simon, but from now on, I'm going to call you Peter. And Peter means rock. And he said, on this rock, I will build my church. See, when Jesus looked at Simon, he didn't see the mistake Simon made. He didn't look at the life Simon had lived up until that point. He saw the potential of Simon, and he knew that Simon could be a leader in the church, a pillar in the church. And he said, that's what I'm calling you. Not according to the past, but according to what I see for you going forward. We should want to be those people that see the golden people and call it out. Encouragement. Then the second or the fifth gift that Paul mentions specifically is he says, to the one who contributes in generosity. And just to be very clear, that contribution or in your generosity, the immediate thing that we think about is money, right? But I don't think the scripture only speaks about money. It does speak about money, but not only about money. See, we can contribute so many areas of your life. When you give up your time, that is a commodity. It's something you can give, right? So we can give of our time, we can give of our energy, like going to spend time with someone when they're in a difficult position, even when it's difficult for us, that is giving of your time, it's giving of your energy. All of these areas we can actually give, right? But also the Bible does call us to give of our finances. And I believe there are some people who are called to be rich.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay. And I always say, to all of the students here, I know all of you are very poor, but just remember me one day when you get those big salary giants. Just remember me. Okay. I'll still be a pastor. I'll still be me. You know, you will change. No, I'm really kidding. So anyway, so when it comes to finances, I think many times we shy away from the topic because in many churches it does get abused, unfortunately. Things need to be paid, and so there's pressure on. And so some churches maybe push it too much. And what we do is, unfortunately, we pull to the other extreme and we don't want to speak about it. But the Bible speaks about money. We preached about it earlier this year as well, more than it does about faith and prayer combined. The Bible speaks about money. So money is an important thing to God. And he says the way that you handle money shows something of what's going on in your heart. So when it comes to money, it is something we should be really careful about.
but it's something we should really take cognizance of, because it's a revealer in our hearts. And then 1 Timothy 6 verse 10, if you have it there, it says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It doesn't say for love, but for money is the root of all kinds of evil. It says the love of money. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. I had to go look up what pang means. It just means griefs, okay? So it's saying be careful of the love of money, right? But still, while you are careful for the love of money, if you are able to not love money, but make money, you know what an impact you can make for the kingdom of God? If you can hold money like this, and you can say, God, this is not my money. It is your money. What do you want to do with it? See, we get so stuck in this thing, we're like, oh, 10%. We won't speak about that in tithing and theology of it, because people get sidetracked. But many of us feel like, oh God, I'm really struggling. Maybe 10% is so much to give. 10% is nothing to give. 10% is supposed to be like a base level, I think, if you want to give everything. You know how much belongs to God? 100% belongs to God. 10% you give immediately, I think, that's how I do it. And then the 90%, my desire is to say, God, what do you want to do? How do you want to use it? What do you want to do with this? And if we can have more people who can be like that and say, God, I'm willing to make money, but I want to invest into your kingdom. I want to take something that is central. It's only going to last this lifetime, but I want to make it useful for eternal things. Then, man, we can have an impact on this world. There was a guy a while ago, he's in Josh Cheng, in one of the congregations. If you can get filthy rich, this guy is filthy rich, right? He's very rich. I won't say what company he has, no, just I don't think you go Google him or something. He's very rich, right? And a while ago I was at the church and he did a finance teaching. I thought this was going to be interesting because I know that this guy doesn't normally give up his money. But just before that, what I didn't know is God really spoke to him and challenged him. And while he was giving this finance teaching, he was really tearing up, and he said that God spoke to him and he realized that he's never given to a point of it being a sacrifice. His giving has always been comfortable for him. And there's the scripture, you mentioned it as well, where David says, God, I will not give you something that costs me nothing. And he felt like God burdened him in his heart, and then he realized everything that he's been giving, it didn't cost him much. He didn't feel it in his pocket. And he made a substantial offering that I heard in the grapevine. I won't say how much, it was a lot of money that he made, because he said, I want to give something that cost me something. If we can have more people that have that type of heart, that can have a massive impact on the kingdom. I'm not saying give to Josh Chen. I'm not saying give to me. I'm joking. But I am saying we should hold it with an open hand and say, God, how do you want to use this to make an impact for you? Money is not the enemy, right? It can be used for the kingdom of God. Leadership. Paul says in verse 8, the one who leads with zeal. Now, the picture of zeal for me is a flame. If you're a leader, you need to have a bit of a flame in you. You need to have a bit of a passion. I like to say it needs to be a flame under your bum. It needs to be that thing that you can't sit still because something is like burning you. You're like, oh, I need to do something. That's what I believe Paul says. If you're a leader, don't be a passive leader. Don't be a reluctant leader. Don't be a leader that does it because you have to, out of compulsion. Be a leader that does it with passion, with zeal, because you've got a conviction from God in how you do it. And I believe that more than ever, the kingdom of God needs leaders. This is not just a workplace thing. See, I think the workplace is incredible, and you can learn many lessons in the workplace. But if you can take what you learn in the workplace, bring it into the church, bring it into the kingdom of God, we need more leaders in the church of God to stand up and be leaders for God. See, we are so scared in the church nowadays to say that we want to be a leader in the church because we feel like that first verse 3, like I want to be humble. I can't say I want to be a leader. Do you want to be an elder? No, man, I just want what God wants for me. Nonsense. Nonsense. Do you want to be an elder? No, man, the Bible says I should be humble. Yes, you can be humble and still say you want to be an elder. Do you want to be an elder? I don't know. Do you want to lead a community? It's fine. Have those desires. Do it with humility. But do you have a desire? See, I think many times people are so scared to say that they have a desire because it looks insincere. It looks like you're not humble. Listen to 1 Timothy 3 verse 1. So
saying, this saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, that's an interchangeable word for elder, what we call pastor, like I'm an elder, pastor, it's pastor elder. Anyway, overseer, he desires a noble task. So it is not sin to say in the kingdom of God, I would like to be a leader. Now the fact that you say it doesn't mean that it's going to happen in your time. Moses had to go wander in the desert for 40 years, right? He had to go look after sheep for a long while. It doesn't mean it's going to happen like this, but it's okay to say, I have a desire, and I'm willing to lay it down. God is going to ask you to lay it down again because it needs to die before it can live. But it's okay to say, I've got a desire to be a leader in the kingdom of God. God needs those people. He wants those people. God uses us because He chooses to use us, and He wants leaders to stand up in His house and say, I'm willing to carry responsibility. I am so thankful for some of the people in this church. I'm not going to even start naming names, but I'm just looking around at Ruan and Kylo. Anyway, I won't carry on. Godfrey. Some people are just riddled. See, now I've started. Now I continue. It's like when you invite people to a party. At some point, you're like, if I invite this one, I have to invite that one as well. And it gets awkward. So I'll stop right where I am. But there's these people in the church. Dog. Anyway, see. There's these people in the church that I'm so thankful for because they've stood up and they're carrying weight with me in the church, okay? And I'm happy about that. Humility isn't sitting away in a corner not doing anything. You can be humble and still start carrying something. I'm thankful for the pillars in this church. I'm thankful because there's a couple of people who are like pillars. You hold up what's happening here. And I'm so, so thankful for you guys. So thankful. So let's really trust God. If leadership is something that you feel He's calling you to, really stand up and say, God, I want to start leading. The last one that He mentions is mercy gift. And it says, to the one who does acts of mercy, do it with cheerfulness. Now, acts of mercy for me, it's those people that love the downtrodden. They love to reach out to people who need the love of Jesus the most. They're special people, I'm telling you. Really special people. They don't mind sitting with someone who's crying for an hour, two, or three. They don't care, as long as they can be there for that person. They don't mind going into the poorest areas and showing the love of Jesus there because they know that those are the areas that need the light of Jesus, and Jesus loves the poor and they want to be among the poor. And I'm saying to you, these acts of mercy, it's not just financially dire people. One financial need. It's not just that. It's those people who really have a desire to go for the lowest of the low. People are really in bad spaces in their lives. And it's special, special people. I'm going to say to you, you are a special person. But I want to give you a warning as well. You know what's one of the things that I've learned in leading a church and being involved in church leadership? Is many times, and this is maybe a lesson for all of them, but for this act of mercy one, I've seen it so many times. Many times what happens is God starts doing something in your heart and you feel like there's an area that's a burden for you and you want to contribute to the body of Christ and you see the importance of it. That's the thing. When God starts showing you the need for leadership, then you're like, the church needs leaders. When He starts showing you the teaching in your life, then you feel like, the church just needs some solid Bible teaching. That's what the church needs, right? When God starts giving you a heart for worship, you're like, we just need more soaking times in God's presence. That's what the church needs. And acts of mercy people think, we're sitting here and we've got all this money, but there's people out there who need this. We're getting all of it here, but there's a lost generation. There are these people that need it. And I want to say to you, just because there's something that God is highlighting in your life, the church needs all of the above. It doesn't just need one. And that might be something that God is really unwanting to you. And yes, we will start walking all of these things more as much as we can. But again, you start contributing what you have. Take others with you. Teach others to show the love of Jesus to those who really need it. And it's such a beautiful thing. Galatians 6 verse 10, last scripture, and then we're going to pray for each other. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. I want to say, when your ministry or what God is calling you is for the maybe the poor or the people who are really in desperate situations, just make sure that we keep the scripture in mind as well. God is saying, yes, do good to everyone, but let's start with the household of faith. Let's start with those inside the family of God, and look who needs it inside of the family of God. Let's stand.